going to jump right into the hour with another round of Stroman on Sports. We're joined here in the studio by Dr. Debbie Stroman, star athlete, longtime sports commentator, and the host of If You Only Knew right here on WCHL, which is moving into a pro football coverage as we start the pro football season, right?
That's right. Yeah. Happy to announce to the 97.9 The Hill listening audience that not only will I continue to do some interviews with sport leaders, I'm going to tap into my love for pro football. And with all of its challenges, with all of its hiccups and things that are very, very disturbing, I'll have Ron Rice join me, and we're going to talk pro football, and we're calling it Cover 2.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So that's coming up soon. Of course, UNC football season just around the corner, starting in just a couple of days. And with fall sports season getting underway and the NFL calendar starting, but especially fall sports season on campus, I got to talk about the relationship. And this is something that I know that is near and dear to your heart, and something that we've talked about here on this show a number of times, which is the role of athletes and the athletic community in speaking out about issues, about injustice, and especially about sort of campus issues and all of that comes together with the discussion and the debate around Silent Sam. So some athletes I have seen speaking out, former Tar Heel athletes have been weighing in, most of them cheering on the protesters. Thank goodness it's gone. Bryce Johnson, I think, if I remember right, Marcus Page, Marquise Williams, all weighing in that direction. But I know you have been actively encouraging athletes to speak out more on issues in general, and this is another time when athletes can kind of use the voice that they have and the fact that people are listening to them and paying attention to what they have to say.
Thank you for that, Aaron. There is no doubt that there are people out there who say that when you become a celebrity, whether that's arts, entertainment, sports, that you are no longer allowed to be a citizen and that you lose your right to speak up around things that matter, however you define it. And I think that goes against every bit of patriotism that we have in our country. Your job should not prevent you or hold you back from talking about things that matter. And in particular, for many Black African-American athletes who have prominence, and that can start in high school, it could be in college, or even at the professional level or Olympic level, there's this sense that you have to choose, and you have to forget how you were raised. You have to forget the people that nurtured you. You have to forget things that you went through or someone close to you or something that you can relate to, because now you're wearing a uniform. And I think that is just absurd, and it actually hurts our country.
And we're already seeing a number, and it's a very convenient argument, right? Whenever you have an athlete or a celebrity that gets in front of the microphones and says something politically that you don't agree with, the immediate first response is, well, why are we even listening to them? They're just a celebrity.
Or they'll say, just shut up.
Or just shut up, right, exactly. Shut up and dance, shut up and sing, whatever. But people do, for better or worse, listen to celebrities, listen to athletes, listen to people who are in positions of power, who have that prominent voice and that microphone and the cameras on them. And I mean, I've said this before with you, and we've had this conversation as well. If you've got that opportunity, if you've got the privilege of having the voice and the microphone and the cameras on you and people listening, and you don't use that to say something to make a difference, I think that's irresponsible. Like, there is a responsibility that comes along with having people listening to you and wondering what you're saying and reacting accordingly. You should be using that voice to make a positive difference in the world, and here's a great opportunity to do it.
And I agree with that 150%. One could argue that when you've gone through life experiences to the point where your peers, your community, the nation is considering you as one of the best of the best, mm-hmm. then you've had access to, you've experienced things that hopefully will elevate your particular viewpoint or perspective. And that goes back to why universities are so important. Because when you have interactions with people who don't look like you, who don't speak like you, who don't come from the same geographic region, then you're going to be enlightened. And so when you think about the athlete who has now traveled, they played with people who might have come from different countries or different parts of the country, you're going to have an awareness and an insight that could bring value to this conversation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, we're talking about racial justice and social justice, but, you know, I would think an athlete who's been able to go to the next level food, cuisine is going to be different. What you've experienced in your hometown is now different because you've been in New York, you've been in Johannesburg, you've been in Melbourne. So all these things help your conversation. Now, there's definitely something to be said to how you can articulate the right use of the King's English or grammar. So it might not come across as someone who's as polished like a professional speaker or a broadcaster, but still, that should not prevent you or hold you back from speaking your mind.
And someone who's an athlete has just as much of a right and a responsibility to use that power to make a difference as the people that we're seeing on the in the conversation right now, and in some cases on the news. And we were talking about some of the people who are weighing in, who are big-time donors to UNC, who are saying, you've got to do this with Silent Sam, or you got to do that, or I'm going to pull my $1 million donation or my $100,000 donation. They have every right to weigh in that way, and so do athletes, and so do you, and so do I, and so does everyone else.
Well, I believe, and this is still my thoughts in process, but I think I'm pretty sure on these three things.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can affect change is exposure, as in shaming people, violence, or economics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, we definitely don't want to go down the resort of violence. That's just, we don't do that. So economics, if you are a very, very wealthy person, that should not, to your point, make you more powerful or have more weight than someone who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a constituent, if you have a tie, if you're an alum, then that should give you the right to speak up and share your opinion, one way or another, however you feel. In terms of exposure, that's always been an effective method because people don't like to be embarrassed, as in, you know, what the numbers look like,
mm-hmm.
You know, how something, how you can purport to be about diversity and inclusion and equity and change and all, you know, everyone rises and, you know, has a good outcome. But yet when you look at the results and the numbers and they don't match your values, you know, that's an effective way to kind of draw attention to something, especially when it's systemic over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing if you have a dip, you know, over 1 year, or I'll say even 2 or 3 years. But when you have a history of not improving, then you should be open to more discussion, more ideas, different people sitting at the table to help you, to help things become better.
And that's definitely the case in the context of this debate about race and UNC, because we're talking about it in the context of Silent Sam last week and this week, and we'll be doing that as we get into the fall. But that's one facet of it, right? I mean, I was reading some statistics that you had sent from Southern Cal, right? That UNC, as significant and as great an institution of higher learning as it is, top 30 in the world and all that, they did a study of 65 major universities. The graduation rate for black male athletes is number 55 at UNC out of 65. That's where we are academically when it comes to African-American male athletes. The vast majority of other institutions are doing a better job than UNC is, and then you have this and a whole host of other very serious concerns all compiling on and compounding each other.
And they're all related.
Yeah.
There's no doubt there's a linkage between the experience of the black male athlete, the black faculty, the black student, the black staff, and then, of course, you can look at other people of color, whether that's Native Americans, whether you look at Latinos and Hispanics. So it's all blending together. Now, this is not to dismiss that there are white faculty, white staff, white students who are troubled, who are struggling, who don't have a good outcome. That's not the question here. The thought is that when you are trying to achieve a mission, that means everyone will have a very, very good experience. And you have these particular populations that are not. And I'm not saying people don't value their Tar Heel degree, or they didn't enjoy eating at the cafeteria, or if they didn't enjoy a particular professor. We're talking about the collective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we see year after year people are troubled. And then when you have Silent Sam go down and there's conversation about raising what that represents, That's why people are very, very alarmed and concerned. And that is across the spectrum, not just the Black community.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strohman, so we started this conversation by talking about the role that Black athletes can play. What role should they be playing? If you were speaking to Black athletes right now at Carolina, you said, here's what you should do, what should they do?
Well, thank heavens we have a lot of role models in history and also currently who are addressing this and asking that their platform not be just for, breast cancer campaigns and, leukemia and, the bike-a-thon, that they want to talk about their lived experience. So everyone from LeBron James, who just had his show last night on HBO, and he talked about how Black and white athletes are viewed differently. He talked about why it's important for him to speak up on social issues. We've got Michael Bennett now. He just wrote an incredible book that I encourage people to read. But I would say that you can be that scholar activist. You can do well in both regards. Don't be shy. If you're looking for more information before you speak, the research is there. You know, from the academic perspective that's been peer-reviewed to observations. So what I would encourage people to do that, one of the most important things is that mobilization and organization is critical, because you don't want to be that lone wolf. Because as I've heard direct experience from athletes, and not just at UNC, that they feel that even though the coach and the administrators will tell them that, oh, no repercussions, they say it's very real. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have to be organized in how and when you speak
and
up.
And stand together, right?
Stand together.
I just said Black athletes, but this is everyone, right?
That's
white
right.
athletes, Black athletes, everyone should be standing up. And there is a significant amount of power, right, that athletes have, especially we're getting into football season. 50,000 people are going to be showing up at Keenan Stadium six times this year. We're getting into basketball season. We're just coming off of a national championship 2 years ago. The eyes of the sports world are on Carolina, and that gives athletes power.
Right. And that's why I applaud people like Sam Perkins, mm-hmm. who's been to the top. You know, All-American here, NBA All-Star, and now he works with the NBA, being an ambassador for basketball all around the world. And yet he has stood very firm on social justice principles and improving the lot of African-Americans in America. And yet he's still beloved. Now, are there some haters out there? Absolutely. But similar to LeBron James, he feels that this is his responsibility. It's his duty. He has money now. He has great relationships now. So at the very least, the least thing that he could do is to speak up and call out examples of inequity and call out for ways that we can have more solutions around this.
It is definitely easier to do when you're LeBron James and you have hundreds of millions of dollars and you've got this awesome career and you're a Hall of Famer and three rings. If you're just starting out your career, if you're in college, you do have potentially something to lose by speaking out. So how do you work around that if you're an athlete in that position, or if you're anyone in that position?
Well, that's the importance of healthy relationships and mm-hmm. organizing. And so if you do want to say something, you can write a blog and then give it to someone else and let them promote it. You can do anonymous things, but just say that I am an athlete. Again, white, Black, whatever. Just say I'm an athlete and this is what I'm experiencing. Healthy relationships, as in having people that you can trust that you could go to. So maybe that is a staff member, maybe that's a faculty member, maybe that's an administrator. But you definitely want to speak up. And then the other thought is, wouldn't you want the people that come behind you to have a better experience?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, the transfer rates, in particular with men's basketball, are off the chart, as in the players are leaving. Now, obviously, there are a number of different reasons why people leave, but one that is consistent is that the way they are treated, as in how they are almost feel like they're not human. And we've seen the videotapes of coaches screaming at athletes, actually touching them in a very physical way, to berating them, all of that. And for some of the athletes, they feel it's tied to a sense of superiority or racism. And so we're seeing lots of transfers. So people are unhappy. And as opposed to being open and transparent and trying to get your story out, helping your parents to understand what they're going through, I think there's a way that we can do it on campus so you don't necessarily have to transfer.
Final thoughts on this, things we haven't said yet?
Well, final thoughts would be, I'm a big believer that to move this needle on healing and around racial matters, that we need more white men to step up. And so we all know about our great coach, Dean Smith, mm-hmm. who was one who actually lived and walked the walk. I would love to see more white men get into this space and have their voice heard, as in, as a white man who is advantaged in this country, whether you're poor or you're rich, you are advantaged. And if anybody has a question about that, I'd love to talk to them one-on-one about it. But will you step into this space and be an accomplice, be in solidarity with people of color? Just like Albert Einstein, there are a number of white men who've done this over the years, but that's what I would love to see more of.
And hopefully we don't have to reach back that far to find an example. Exactly. Like that's an, no, I mean, that's an issue, right? I mean, every time someone says, oh, well, this happened, think about Henry Ford, think right. about Albert, think about, it's like you had to think back 80 years right. to come up with that example. That's symbolic and suggestive too. I think that's
absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, again, host of If You Only Knew on WCHL, soon to be, what's it called, Cover 2, as we get into pro football season. We've got to wrap up with one more thing, and this is on the court, sort of. NCAA rules are going to be gradually changing, presumably to get rid of the one-and-done rule, but there's a big development in that today. So.
Yes, absolutely. The NBA, the NCAA, and the National Basketball Players Association, they reached an agreement with USA Basketball, which is our Olympic group that helps develop our young people. So now Team USA is going to expand its men's junior national team program to include additional training camps. So to interpret all of that, the NBA is going to work with younger players. So that is a signal that the NBA is willing to get into this work of helping to develop and make it more transparent. Whereas before, there were all of these rules and policies, as in they can't get involved. So people are looking at, okay, within the next few years, we're going to see the change in one and done. That rule that was adopted in 2005, where they had a new minimum age of 19, that's going to be gone.
I think it's a positive step for college basketball. Is that a positive step for the athletes going through?
Well, if your goal, if you've been identified in 9th, 10th grade that you could possibly make it, why not have the best work with you?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, once again, the fear around the AAU and what's happening in that, a lot of poor coaching, a lot of bad habits and things that the NBA and the NCAA need to get a hold of that market and work with them more. So I think this is a step.
Awesome. We'll end it there. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.